It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis up for another day of broadcast insolence.
Bill Daly said he thought the Russians hacked the Chicago Tribune because he found out he got the editorial board's endorsement. And the same day, he got $1 million from Illinois' richest man, Ken Griffin.
Ken Griffey Jr.?
Ken Griffey Jr., yeah, yeah. Exactly, him. Mm-hmm.
We had a mayoral candidate who said that about him.
He did not get the money, that particular mayoral candidate.
Right, in referring to Ken Griffin, the hedge fund billionaire here in Chicago, one of the richest men in America, he said that Ken Griffey Jr. is going to be handing out money to people. And I'm like, he is? Really? You mean the Major League Baseball All-Star? That guy?
Not that one.
Yeah,
the rich billionaire who is just given $1 million to Bill Daly, giving him, he's at $7.5 million in terms of his campaign fund.
Nothing ever goes right for that guy.
No.
But, you know, what is interesting is you're starting to see the field winnow here in terms of who everybody is talking about. So, yeah, Susana Mendoza's got commercials out that are beating the poop out of Bill Daly.
Calling him Rauner's guy.
Right.
Among other things.
And then, but now with a $1 million to build a new TV ad, you know, then have watch what happens to Susana Mendoza when she gets buried in ads about her by him, right? I mean, that's the way that, and we end up just like that. And then we say, well, wait, why is there so much negativity and hatred and, you know, dirty ads and things like that in politics? Because they work. Because we watch them and we react to them, we out here in the public, it's like rumor mongering. It's the same thing. Politics has always been boisterous and disgusting. It's just kind of we're noticing it a lot more now because it's politics year round, right? Even the
never
funny,
stops.
It never stops, and that really started in the Clinton years that they were constantly campaigning. Right, it was an idea that they had, and then for all of the folks that Bill Clinton had around him, George Stephanopoulos, who was one of the guys who was doing this along with James Carville, and then you move forward to the Bush years, and he had his people around him that were pushing forward, and the Obama years. They were in a constant campaign mode, but it was I always found it to be a softer mode. But the difference there is all three of those former presidents, when they were in campaign mode, they weren't like in my enemy's a crook, the last week of a campaign that you hear, and they're bad and they're the worst person ever and they should do this. That is brand new, and I just wonder if that's going to be the new style.
Right. It's sort of like who can be the best bully to go up against the president becomes a sort of a litmus test for the Democrats. And it seems like a strange one for
but
there to be.
Will the bully, because the president, because Donald Trump has been so successful at getting elected out of nowhere, right? I mean, no one thought he had a chance. All the political savants thought there was no way. And he did get elected. So then the question is that style an effective style? Can other people replicate it and pull it off? And is that what we're in for now in America?
Right. Is that what we should be in for?
Right. Because there's only one Donald Trump and he won't be president forever. So does the next guy up or the, is everybody going to be doing that? Although I don't know that people can really... the president is a uniquely qualified individual to live like that. He's lived like that his entire life. He is, as a real estate developer, he has always exaggerated success and exaggerated crowds and sizes and things like that. And I mentioned this yesterday when he was talking about how he's going to build his additional piece of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If he signs this, he's not acknowledging he's going to sign this new piece of legislation. But we're being told he is going to. I mean, everybody else around him is saying he's going to. When he does that, he's going to say, well, I didn't get what I wanted, but I'm finding money in other places. We're working on big things. We got big other things going on. It's going to be a big, beautiful wall. And it just to me, it sounds like he is in front of bankers in New York getting his loan pulled and explaining how this is really going to be great. You don't have to pull my loan right now. Don't call me up for the money. We're still working on it. It's going to be great. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. I mean, anybody who's ever been in any businessman who's ever been in a situation like that, and they got to sort of sing for their supper. That's what that's a lot of what we see here in terms of campaigning.
Right. Well, one of his campaign promises, Ted Cruz is giving him a little bit of help today because he said that El Chapo should pay for the wall with the money that the U.S. government seizes from him as part of the criminal prosecution. So if it's not Mexico, a Mexican drug lord is this new proposal from Senator Cruz. Thinks that that's how we should pay for it.
How much money are we getting from him? Did they say?
They haven't said. I mean, he's worth, Forbes puts him at $1 billion, but it's hard to really know how much he was worth. Remember,
but how much do we get from him? I mean, that money's in the wind now, right? And it was, a lot of it was in cash.
The U.S. government is seeking the criminal forfeiture of more than $14 billion in drug proceeds and illicit profits.
Oh.
El Chapo.
The president gets he can do two walls.
A couple walls. Yeah double enforce
two,
it.
Right. You get two walls out of that. Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's the way you want to do it. That's fine. That's fine by me. I don't care. I'm not as much worried about the wall as it is the rhetorical flourishes around it and this whole idea that the people on the other side of the wall are bad and the people on this side of the wall are good. And that creates those kinds of divisions.
Right.
Because not all those other people who are trying to get in here are bad. They're not all drug dealers and horrifying people.
Right.
They may be in need of a shower after walking 1,000 miles. But other than that, there are some people in there that are, you know, they want to come in here legally and through the process. I get all of that. I understand that. But it's still, I find it, you know, as a needy individual myself, I find it very, very, very gratifying that people still want to get into this country and not are trying to get out. The wall is being designed to keep people out who want to get in. As opposed to, but it may serve two purposes before it's all said and done. All right. Thank you very much.
The wall is very, very on its way, by the way, is what the president just said 40 minutes ago. Very, very on its way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's coming.
Don't call my loan. It's very, very on its way. All right. Coming up, Ben Bradley. Wait till you hear this. Let's come back here locally. Ben Bradley has a story that might shock you. About, you know, everybody's talking about, well, if Chicago gets a casino or, you know, more casinos in Illinois, we're going to be able to pay off the debt.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be shocked by the turn of events that has happened here. Stay right here. But first, let's check in with Kim Gordon. What's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Roe, it looks like the opportunity is over for opportunity.
Get real in the morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV morning news team, weekdays 4 to 10.
Ben Bradley joins us right now from the WGN-TV newsroom, and Ben has a story that is, I think it's going to surprise a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been talking about casinos, and if we have more casinos, we're going to solve all the budget problems in the state of Illinois or the city of Chicago or whatever. Willie Wilson's all about having a casino here in Chicago, downtown Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Many of the mayoral candidates.
Right. I like to take Adler Planetarium, make it into a casino. You know, but he's got like all these
right,
ideas.
But between that and the marijuana taxing that, it doesn't seem like you're anywhere close to where you need to be.
Turns out, Ben, casinos are not quite as lucrative as we thought.
Certainly not quite as lucrative as they have been over the years. One could argue that there's a cannibalization going on, not just from Indiana, but within Illinois. Because a couple of years ago, those video gaming machines started popping up, you know, in bars and restaurants. Even now, there are some places that are devoted just to video gaming. And some new numbers that we've obtained from the Illinois Gaming Board show for the first time, revenue from video gambling machines in Illinois exceeds the revenue generated from the state's 10 casinos.
Mm.
Interesting, isn't it?
Very. Would not have expected that.
So, those video games at bars, when you walk into a bar, you know you've really made it when you see the video games lined up next to the window.
Yeah. And there's a guy in there who's been on the stool since, like, I don't know, 89?
Right, and Tanya Harding. There's two people who are actually there. Or there's a little line that's broken out. Those little kiosks, those little screens, in total, are outperforming all the casinos, the 10 casinos in the state of Illinois.
Yeah. You want to guess how much revenue just the video gaming machines are generating?
I have
no idea.
Is
this tax revenue or revenue?
No,
to
this is just overall revenue and then the slice of it. Yeah,
the owners,
how much
the,
they're generating
of
basically.
Those, and then how the
$1.5 billion.
Hmm. Wow.
And then that those bets at video gaming machines were actually up 15% over the previous year, while casino revenues have been dropping steadily for the last couple of years. Last year,
is there any indication as to is it just a convenience thing? What are the reasons?
Well, I think they're ubiquitous, right? I mean, you know, yes, some cities like Chicago, Schaumburg, and other places have said no to these video gaming machines. But other than that, you can go just about to countless suburbs and towns across Illinois, and you see those things, whether it's in a gas station, a bar, or a restaurant, kind of tucked into the corner. Mm-hmm. And one of our producers was telling me earlier today that it's actually becoming a issue in the race for mayor in a place like Schaumburg, where that's a town that has seen video gaming crop up in its surrounding communities. But Schaumburg has said no up until now. But boy, that's a hard revenue source to continue to say no to, especially when you see people, in some cases right across the street operating them.
And the casinos are taxed at a higher rate, is my understanding, than those. But do you have any kind of a clue about how much they are generating out of that $1.5 billion for the state?
You know, forgive me, I do have the numbers. I don't have them right in front of me. And I can tell you, though, that, it's still a huge number, right? It's like $1.3 billion in revenue,
right,
that the casinos are generating. But if you look at a bar graph of how the casinos in Illinois are doing, it is a downward trajectory.
Mm.
Rivers Casino is by far the most successful casino in our area, but even Rivers Casino in Des Plaines has been seeing the number of gamblers decrease, according to Illinois Gaming Board numbers that we just got a hold of.
It makes you wonder if we should adjust the expectations of a new casino that most of the mayoral candidates are projecting will bring in a lot of dough for us to solve the pension problem.
Not only adjust those projections about what a Chicago casino would do, but also, think about it, we may have sports betting on the books here in Illinois
right
before too long, yeah, which will further cannibalize it.
Right, but there's still opportunities there for people to build a casino that will have an experiential thing for, an experience for people to go enjoy, right? I mean,
right.
It's one of the things about Rivers is that people go out there because it's got nice restaurants and it's right. A nicer atmosphere than we've seen in a lot of casinos, like local kind of casino
right.
operations. So,
well, and people have said over the years, why don't you just stick a Chicago casino at McCormick Place and go after, all the conventioneers and mm-hmm. tourists. But, a lot of the people who put on conventions don't want a casino, steps from the show floor, because that will then dilute their show attendance.
Yeah, that's why no one goes to Las Vegas for their annual shows.
Well, come on now. I once went to the Society of Professional Journalists conference in Las Vegas.
Oh.
Are you suggesting I was there for anything but pure motives?
It
was at the late, great Aladdin Casino, by the way.
Wow.
And it shut down shortly after it hurt the journalists there.
That was the year that the hookers went on strike. They're like, oh, it's journalists. They don't pay. We are not interested.
Oof,
all
yeah.
right, hold on. Thank you, Ben.
Thanks,
appreciate
Ben.
It. We'll see you tonight at 4, 5, 6, 9,
you
and 10.
Got it.
Rokan Show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN. Tom Skilling joins us right now, being brought to us by our very dear friends at PermaSeal Basement Systems.
Yes.
Oh.
And
hello, Anna.
Hello,
hi,
Tom.
Tom, happy. You're always so cheery, even when the weather isn't so much.
Oh, I tell you, we keeps us hopping around here, even on the sunny days, Anna. But how nice of you to say that. Thank you.
Chillers. I ain't gonna lie.
I felt it today.
Little chillers.
Yeah, one thing though, Rose, I was walking in. I thought, this is a great example of if you're out in the sun, you do feel it, a little warmer than the sun we've had in the last month or so.
I'm sorry.
But
I did not.
You didn't?
No. If you're down amongst the buildings, though, or out of that sun, or standing out there for any period of time, there's no question. This is cold air.
It's not only is it a little, you got the little chillers, it's also icy.
Yes, it is.
And I wore the wrong boots today.
I know.
I wore boots that didn't have the right tread. And I put them on like quickly as I'm running out the door this morning. I had to get to Mr. Cochran's show in time. Mm-hmm. So I sort of got here in time. Uh-huh. I mean, at least the show was still on when I got here. And I just grabbed this and I'd forgotten that I don't have that kind of grabby tread underneath.
They're
sort of smooth.
Boy, that can make a difference.
Oh, it totally makes a difference.
I almost wiped out all the way down Lake Street.
Oh, I can imagine. They wear up in Alaska are these things you put on the bottom of your shoes, and they have like teeth in them.
Yeah.
And they really grab, and there's so many instances of ice up there.
Mm-hmm. I think I need those.
Yeah. They're not a bad thing to have. We're kind of accustomed to dealing with, so much ice so fast. We were looking yesterday. We found out that the ice situation we had may have been the thickest that we've recorded in the city in 71 years at an official site here. So that's pretty formidable ice.
Well, you're not. I'm going to tell you something. It's been a long time since I've seen this kind of iciness stick around.
Yeah. We've had 6 instances of freezing rain. My colleague Mark Carroll dug that out in the last 21 days. And normally for a whole year, we get about 3 or 4 days of freezing rain in Chicago, which was interesting to me.
We'd rather have snow, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Rain.
No
yeah.
question.
It's easier to deal with in terms of walking and so forth.
Managing
it.
Yeah.
How were the trees? Because we were worried about the trees. A lot of them getting coated in ice and creating problems.
Well, I'll tell you, we got some pictures from around the area, some of these things coming down. And what was really bad last night was the blowing and drifting snow in the open areas. You had ground blizzard conditions with those howling winds last night. And they had accidents. There was a terrible accident south of DeKalb last night that closed down road on I-23 out there, Illinois 23. And then we also had, the city government out in DeKalb last night for a time was saying, hey, if you can avoid going out, do that, because some of the roads, one of the main drags in town, Annie Glidden Boulevard, was nearly impassable last night because of the blowing and drifting and low visibility. So at least we're out of that. And, wasn't it nice to see the sun today and to see a blue sky? It made all the difference in the world.
Well, it's a prettier picture.
It is.
I'm not going to lie to you about that, but I'm going to say that it is colder than it appears because the sun is higher because now we are, and you know me, I do this, so give some perspective to this.
Yes.
That it's kind of late October sun. So as you're thinking, like, what is, the sunlight, the angle of the sun, all that would be sort of a mid to late October in terms of where it is in the sky. And as a result, it does feel, if you think about it that way, I use that little mental trick to make myself feel better about
idea.
It. Because then I'm like, all right, well, that was all the way back then. And every day we get earlier and earlier and earlier. And you're like, October's not so bad.
No,
that's true.
I was looking yesterday too. The amount of energy that February sun delivers is about 80% more than what we get in December sun. So that has come up. It's been kind of blocked by the fact that we had such cold temperatures and so much of this cloud cover and freezing rain and snow and so forth.
And it continues to go up every day. I mean, the sun every day when it comes up, it's a happier sun every day.
It is.
Until June 21st. And then it becomes a sadder sun every day. Although, I always go to the middle of July. I like to buy a couple extra weeks. It's very happy. And it's kind of, now it's just kind of laying back after June 21st. And then in August, you're like, hey, that's a lot darker than September. The bottom falls out.
See, my sun is a little different than yours. My sun stays happy into September. I mean, even though admittedly the days are getting shorter and all, but
it's happy ish.
Nice.
And then somewhere around the second or third week of September,
turn the bend.
Right. I'm going to spend less time with you than the night sun. than the night side. So good luck to you, pal, is basically the way I look at it.
That's why you have your fake sun lamp.
Then right.
You have a, you transfer over part of your day with your sun lamp.
And I start begging the sun back right around then. I'm like, no, you can stick around all the way through October, right?
And how does that work for you? I mean, does
and then
that
in November, it's totally, I'm jilted by November.
I see.
And then November and December, January. And then right around now, it's sort of like the sun is teasing me again. Like, hey, remember me? Remember when we used to go out? Remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't you remember the good times? Don't think about the bad times.
No, that's never good for you.
Yeah.
People are texting in their pictures, 815, of like 2 inches of what looks like ice over their fences, their trees, their banisters, their sidewalks, everything.
And you know what else, Anna? There are big snowdrifts, too.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I wondered how that talking to the sun works, because, you know, I yell at my computer, come on, come on, come on, speed up, and it doesn't seem to do any good. I wondered if your communication with the sun had better results than my communication with my computer.
Yeah.
That does it?
Did it? What does it? How bad is your communication with your computer?
It's one way. It's not existent.
I think the sun listens to me. I think the sun is definitely playing with me right
good.
Now. Because the sun, like right now, it's like, look how pretty I am. This is like, you know, when you break up and then all of a sudden people get on social media and they're like all dolled up and looking great and their lives are great.
Yeah. You're missing out.
Right. I got FOMO with the sun right now.
Totally
I look at the sun. I'm like, look at how beautiful it is. And then you go outside and you're like, I remember why I hate you.
Yeah.
Why are you hating on me? It's just fine, right? This looks beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, Anna, what's amusing or what's illuminating is the degree of communication Ro has with the sun.
High level.
I think this is very impressive.
So do all my doctors. They think it's very interesting, too.
Now, what do you say to the sun in the morning?
Does the sun talk back? Yes.
Ro, I can loan you some of my doctors. Maybe that.
I'm lousy with doctors.
So how do you handle your computers when they're not behaving? Do you smack them a little bit? Give them a little shove? Do you do the on and off thing?
All verbal. And you know what? It doesn't do a whit of good, but I think it makes me feel better. You know,
interesting.
They did a story in the New York Times a couple of months back about stress release, and they said that, you know, we're told not to get angry and all the rest, and sometimes getting a little angry releases the pressure and the stress. Was their conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just cry. I think that's what I'm supposed to do, right?
But the problem with crying is you internalize it. You know, you just
not me. No, I'm an ugly crier.
Right?
So I'm screaming, wailing.
By the way, how did the how did the toilets hold up last night in the wind and all in your building?
That's on my mom's building where I live now.
Oh.
I live in a low little townhouse
with a deck.
So yeah, with a deck, right? Yes.
Great deck.
Yes,
really great deck.
It's funny because I didn't talk to my mom last night. I should have had her go and look in the toilets.
Yeah,
and see if they were sloshing.
I'm surprised she didn't call you about it.
I know. And if the chandelier was swinging back and forth.
Yeah.
Right. We were concerned about that.
I learned 2 days ago from you people that I'm some sort of fancy pants because we had a chandelier in our house.
And that you were concerned about that when it was windy outside.
I thought it was very touching how concerned you were about your chandelier.
We weren't.
I hope you didn't take that wrongly. We didn't mean to be critical.
It was just hard to feel for your chandelier. Yeah, I was right. I know a lot of people don't have an emotional attachment to a chandelier. I happen to have had one, and so it's unusual, but I had it, and it's just me, and I'm not gonna hide from myself.
What they always say is different strokes for different folks.
That's what they say, Tom. I don't know if they mean it.
I've lived by that my entire life, too, so I can identify with that.
I get it. And so I should have checked. I don't know, but I was very busy hiding from.
Yes.
But the wind last night, I mean, I went out.
Fierce.
And I had to. I had a dinner with a buddy of mine, and we're sitting around. And this is the thing. The worst nights of the year, I am not going to give in to the weather. I am not going to let.
You've been very good about that.
You have.
You're just trudging right through it. You put your Arctic gear on, and you go out there.
Yep, I got the Arctic gear. I got the Traverse is great in the weather. So I'm out there, and I'm driving around. I'm like, it might as well be sunny at 75.
Do you not have the bell handy today?
Hold on. Oh, yeah.
Dang it.
Thank you. Is that for the mention
Traverse.
Of the...
The Traverse, yeah.
Traverse, yes.
Egregious. A Chevrolet product.
All right, but you've been great about that. Yeah. You really have.
So... That is.
I've got to get one of those, too. You know, just
a bell every time.
Yeah, just to ring it for the sake of ringing it, you know. Just
add something new. Sure. It's not enough that he's got 60 graphics per... For weather
forecast, I'm using three different office,
computers
right.
at once. Yeah. I need a bell.
I think I'm going to go. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a bell every time I mention every time I mention the word sun.
Yeah, that's good.
You can do that just to remind people. There are things turning around. Can you just tell me as you look out? I know it's wish casting out 10 days mm-hmm. or whatever, but I noticed that you do this on your. You know, you got 7 days up there on the on the screen.
Well, I've got in front of me, you know, the next 15 days.
What's the highest temperature in the next 15 days?
The highest temperature I see is tomorrow. 40. Tomorrow we got to get up to 43. And then we go back down to the mid-20s, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, upper 20s, Tuesday, and then 34 next Thursday, 38 next Friday, 38 Saturday. That's a week from this Saturday.
See, now that's the end of the month.
Yeah, see, the temperatures are starting to come up.
In, a week early.
Also calculate whether we're going to be above or below normal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're below normal from tomorrow through next Thursday, then we go a little bit above normal Friday, Saturday next week, and then go down below normal after that. It's a fairly cool pattern that we've got going here. There's no question about
it. It's been a cruel last half of the winter.
It has.
It really hit hard.
Did hit hard.
Do you know what's interesting, though? There was an interesting blog by Bob Henson, who writes for Weather Underground. I like his stuff. And he was pointing out that we closed the month of February, and for all the talk of the polar vortex and everything else, the month on a national basis still wound up above normal, and record highs outnumbered record lows through the month of January in the lower 48 by a margin of 3-1.
Uh-oh, that's going to make some politicians nuts when you tell them that.
Yeah, well,
they've been eating on this it's been cold in the polar vortex.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes to show how one event like that, which is jarring and has severe ramifications for the folks it affects, doesn't necessarily, you know, have a huge aerial coverage all the time, nor does it reflect what's going on across the country. But I thought that was interesting. I was surprised by the 3-1 margin on record highs versus record lows. It also was the 29th warmest of all the years we have going back to the 1880s.
Even with a polar vortex. So imagine if we didn't have the polar vortex.
That's right. But it's a testament. You know, it was significantly warmer than normal out west. Now they're in the cold. And the southeast is seeing incredibly warm temperatures. Yeah. It's a great time to be taking a Florida vacation or somewhere down on the Gulf Coast because the temperatures there are running very mild. We have Dan Rohn down in Phoenix covering the spring training.
Yeah.
And, of course, he tries to make us feel bad every day. But even he had to wear a sweater and
our own Kevin Powell is down there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're really suffering out here.
Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing well.
It's not terrible, but it's cool by Phoenix's standards.
He even sounds warm.
Oh, for God's sake. Yeah. Stop complaining!
Yeah.
Think I'm sunburned, guys?
All right. Well, Kevin gets sunburned with a house lamp, so that's how that goes. All right. So he's the whitest man in America. All right.
Guys, it was...
Thank you, Tom.
It's great talking to you, Ro and Anna. And I learned more things in these conversations about Ro Khan.
Yeah.
Every single day, among other things.
Funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Tom.
Talk to you later, Ro. See you. Bye, Anna.
Bye, Tom.
Let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Want to own a comic book store? You can get one for free.
Manny Machado's gloves for the new season were receiving a lot of scrutiny online.
Yes.
Black and white in color.
Not sure if I believe all of that, but I'm going to go with it. And Kevin Powell is on Machado Watch. We'll talk to him coming up in just a few minutes. Coming up after 4:40, your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Hawks take on the Senators on Monday. The Ottawa Senators, not the U.S. Senators.
That would be fun. Ted Cruz.
Duncan Keith. I like it when you got a little stubble.
He's got stubble too now, Ted Cruz. He's got the new thing he's sporting.
Take a look at my beard. I've got a playoff beard. Yeah, no, no. These are the Ottawa senators.
Totally different.
Yeah, totally different.
Much more enjoyable.
That's Monday night, February 18th, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com and listen for your chance to win tickets all regular season long. Did you see this story? I'm fascinated by this about the, you know, no matter what day of the week it is, you can look at your phone or pick up a newspaper or however you consume your news. And you can find out that whatever you have been eating your entire life will kill you.
It's so true.
There is just no two ways around it. Or you find out, conversely, that something that you thought was killing you is good for you. But you only find that out because the industry that actually makes that thing
pays for studies.
Commissioned a study to tell you that. And then about 3 weeks later, the doctors come out and say, nope, that's going to kill you too. So.
Happens all the time. And sometimes it actually makes me alter my diet. I'll be like, well, maybe I am having too many beans, or maybe I am, you know, eating too much of this.
A study published Monday revealed that eating a lot of unhealthy, ultra-processed foods will kill you.
Well, that kind of makes
researchers found that 10% increase in the consumption of ultra-processed foods was significantly associated with a 14% higher risk of death from all causes.
I don't like
all causes.
The study has death in it. Like, wait a minute, I think I had some ultra-processed foods this week.
So let's see. Now let's just talk. It says actually ultra-processed foods could be a marker for unhealthy habits such as lack of exercise and smoking. So that could also.
But what's ultra processed food?
Everything Kevin eats.
Kevin's whole diet.
Yes.
Like, so most of the cookies and like soda.
Yeah, I got a whole list. I got a list for you. We're going to go through this.
Oh, okay.
All right. Now, these are some of the bigger, these are some of the bigger culprits.
Okay.
In this. Carbonated drinks. Now, what happens when you got like this is part of the processing though. But, you know, you get, like, sugar-free. I figure, well, that's good for you. It turns out it's not good for you.
Like, even if you have one of those soda streams, like, that I maybe use every night.
Those are so popular.
I don't know why they're saying that, carbonated
drinks. Miller Lite doesn't count, does it?
No.
Not on the list.
Okay, not ultra-processed.
With all the fructose.
It's got corn syrup in it, which is real nice for the... That's why Orion fully endorses Kevin drinking Miller Lite. It's a long story. Just go with me, people, if you're not following.
Corn farmers, you.
Sweet or savory packaged snacks.
Nutty bars.
Oh, we're getting there.
That's everything.
Wait, before we get to that.
Oh.
No, this is savory packaged snacks. So like
chips
or crackers.
That's like.
I love a cracker. Cheese nip.
I love chips.
Who doesn't love a cheese nip?
Life.
Yeah. I mean, come on, people.
Is that like Cheetos and Doritos and all of those?
Does one? I just want to ask you this question, and this is totally unrelated to this study, because this study would probably decry all of these things. But in the potato chip world.
Yeah. Great world.
It seems to me that I love Pringles because they're probably the worst ones for me. How do they get them to all be exactly the same?
And so crispy.
Uniform. Crispy, and then crispy yet melty at the same time.
And kind of buttery, but thin, really thin.
Right. What I like to do is like stack five at a time, and they expand a little bit when you first bite into them.
Do you make the duck face where you kind of turn one up and turn
I've done
one
that.
Down?
I've done that. Sure.
It's always hilarious.
Not opposed.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
You don't dip those either because they just taste so good all by themselves.
Right. And they also don't handle the dip ball.
They
that
don't.
Well.
They just crunch
crack
off. Right.
Yeah. That's pro tip. If you're, this is, you know, Kev, when you and the boys are entertaining the ladies you put the dip out, you know, get the Lay's. Get the J's. Get the bigger, the thicker chips.
I like the
chips.
Scoops.
Scoops
I was going to say, Ro, I looked at you as a kettle chip kind of a guy.
Oh, I'm much more of a kettle chip kind of a guy, yeah. But I know, because they're $2.19 a bag. That's why you look at me like that.
With some fancy oil.
Yeah.
That some hipster came up with. This is a new oil we're trying out with our kettle chips.
It's cannabis oil. That's what I'm using.
It's good for your hair.
What? Think about one-stop shopping right there. How about that? Kettle chips made in cannabis oil.
Oh, got the munchies, no problem.
Oh my gosh, you would just have like this consistent high because you'd keep eating.
Yeah.
Right, it's like a preemptive strike.
Oh my god, it's a conveyor belt is what it is. I have totally missed the boat on this.
I missed work this week.
You could do something with that.
Hey, what month is it? All right. Let's see. Ice cream. High, ultra processed. Back to this season.
Really? Ice cream?
Ultra processed foods that will kill you, according to this study.
Yep. I love ice cream. I'm dead.
Candies, any kind of confection candy, and it's super sugared up stuff. Margarines and spreads.
Yeah. What about the spreads that have all those health benefits on the packaging?
They would never mislead us? Come on.
Yeah, that's all got to be perfectly right.
Who would do that? Now, the thing is, I've gone away from the margarine. If I'm going to do that, I've gone back to butter. I don't know if it's a good idea.
I'm with you.
There is a movement back to the butter. Yeah. There really is. People are moving back to butter.
Because it's basically calories in, calories out.
Well, and you found out that some of the processed things that were taking out the stuff that was made it supposedly like lower fat or whatever you were trying to get out of it weren't that good for you.
Right. It's like they're literally putting in like cellulose and plastic or things like that.
And in yoga mats, they inject that into it, you know? Like it's just all...
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, that's in there?
Yes. Right. So whatever that is, we don't necessarily need that. But I've gone to for the butter?
Where do you go for the butter?
Oh, my God. You know what? I have like an addiction to it.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
The Kerrygold. The Irish butter.
Oh, very, yeah. Very popular. I love that Kerrygold.
That goes back to Kim's notion that I'm just overpaying at the grocery store, which I am.
I was at a charity event, sat next to the guy who distributes it here, and he told me that in Ireland, it's just a normal
they call it
butter.
It
isn't. Yeah, just called butter, yeah. Right? It's not like a special thing. Here, it's special.
I don't know. I'm buying into it. Somehow it tastes better to me than the Land O'Lakes. And I don't know. And I should be. The Land O'Lakes is that, you know, that's coming from our neighbors. Right.
Yeah.
I should be supporting them. I do that for cooking. But if I'm going to be spreading, I'm going to Kerrygold.
Mm-hmm.
I have an entire refrigerator just devoted to butter now.
Well, I'm kind of a grocery snob like you. And now Land O'Lakes makes a European creamy butter that mimics Kerrygold.
Oh, smart. So they knew they were losing market share to that. Is it good?
It is good.
I
use it for baking all the time.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Butter Wars 2019.
Yeah. All right.
Well, it has to be because it's a little more expensive, right?
I'm going
to
put a tariff on all of it, especially all the butter coming from China.
I don't think we have any butter coming from China.
I hope not.
Where is China?
Cookies, pastries, and cakes. Also bad.
What?
Yeah.
Lies.
I mean, we knew this.
No, come on. It knows it's going to kill you because the study says this is killing you.
Ultra processed.
How are those so ultra processed?
Well, you know, let's face it. If you're going to work your way to the Chips Ahoy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you eat the Chips Ahoy, and that's basically your dead end cookie right there. That's like everything has gone wrong in your life.
I had those yesterday.
With the Chips Ahoy.
I love those.
Now the Girl Scout cookies are out. It's more of a killer around here.
But those are good. Those aren't ultra processed.
They're kind of like...
They just said all cookies. The cookies, pastries, and cakes. Now, but again, with the cookies, the important thing is if you worked your way to Chips Ahoy or Nilla's, you basically, it's like there's been a nuclear strike, and you are, and this is what's left in your...
Please.
Because they'll last forever.
You just robbed a vending machine.
Yeah.
Oh, is Oreo? Where are Oreos on that list?
It's just follow along here, Anna. It's just cookies, pastries, and cakes. They're not giving me any brands.
No, I mean on the study, on the list of things that you're falling out. You know, life is getting bad on you.
Oh,
like
the rest of them.
Number one,
yeah.
Pastries two, and
oh, for me.
That's a study for a different day.
Yeah, that's a different. Yeah, that's me. If I have Bugles, if I'm eating Bugles, something has gone totally wrong with me. I don't even like Bugles, and you can imagine that's got to be the ultramost processed of the processed right there.
You could put the Bugles on your fingers to create the claw, and then the Pringles with the duck mouth. And you got a whole little like Instagram shoot going on there. My name's Ro. I've lost it a little bit.
I think we assign that to Kevin.
I'm drinking Natty Light, and I'm putting Bugles on my fingers. I think I'm out of a job.
Rock bottom.
Yeah. All right, let me give you the rest of these. Cocoa drinks, fruit-flavored drinks.
What?
Cereal bars, meat and chicken extracts. What is that?
Like they bouillons?
It's just extracts. You know what? Dr. Most is going to join us, and maybe he'll be able
like
to
explain schmaltz? Some of this.
What's that? Chicken fat?
Oh.
But you're making that off of a chicken, right? You're making that yourself,
right?
You're not going to the store and, hey, excuse me, where's the schmaltz?
I didn't know chickens have fat.
What do you think makes them taste so good?
Oh, I don't know.
And then you go to the Jewel, and then the manager's like, I don't know, and they're calling each other from, you know, in the Jewel.
Plastic on Schmaltz. Plastic on Schmaltz.
What is Schmaltz?
Yeah, I don't know what they're talking about. It's chicken fat. All right, we'll get back to all these. I'll give you the list of things that will kill you, according to this new study. But first, Kim tells you the other things that could possibly kill you in the news.
The search continues for the killer of two teens in Delphi, Indiana, 2 years later.
Show with Anna DeBlantis.
Yes.
Right here, 720 WGN. We're talking about the foods that can kill you.
And it's like all of the snack foods on the planet. So far, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, new study out. And our friend, Dr. Kevin Most, you know him, you love him, you hear him on Cochrane all
yes,
the time
do.
On the mornings here. And he's over at the Northwestern Medicine facilities over there. All over the Chicagoland area now is at Northwestern Medicine. You know, if you trip, it's right in front. You may trip right in front of the place. Don't
there's a new one near me.
Yep.
I have tripped outside there.
All right. Now, doctor, everything I'm seeing on this list that has been put out by this new, there's a new study, and it was published in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association. And it basically says that anything ultra-processed, and they describe ultra-processed as basically anything other than fresh, right? It's from carbonated drinks to packaged snacks, ice cream candies, margarine, cereal, fruit-flavored drinks, cocoa drinks. This is interesting. Health and slimming products, such as powdered or fortified meals and dish substitutes, they say, are bad for you.
How about it? And Ro, it's interesting. You know, the study was published in JAMA, but did you see where the study came from? The study came from France, where they looked at people for about 10 years, and they looked at the diet of people in France. And you think, wow, French people do eat fat-laden foods and that, but it was beyond that. It was the processed foods, like you were saying, that we're concerned about. And if you look at health risks, we're looking at, all right, heart disease because of the sodium in a lot of these, diabetes because of the sugar in a lot of these, cancer risk because of the chemicals in a lot of these. So it's, I wouldn't say stop eating all of them, but we really do need to start to look at what we're putting in our mouths.
The study, though, also did an important, there's a bit of a proviso that comes with the study, which is that it's looking at death rates, which may also be based on people's behavior. Not just what they're taking in, but people who are going to be more likely to be eating health or slimming products may be overweight to begin with, so the risk of death is higher. Right?
Absolutely.
So that's
it's one of those things where they started to take, hey, the social aspect of it as well as the science aspect of it. And we know that, right? We know that individuals who eat a lot of fast foods and that, we have a higher chance of obesity. With a higher chance of obesity, we have a higher chance of not only cancer, stroke, heart attack. So now they're putting the two together and saying it's not only food, but it's also some of your activities and how you live in your environment.
So minimally processed foods that are healthier are sauces and dressings, as well as cereals, crackers, nut butters, yogurt, and milk fortified with calcium and vitamin D. Better for you, but processed anyway.
Correct. When we look at processed foods, we can't throw them all in one bucket. It's kind of like saying cancer. There's a whole spectrum of processed foods. Milk is processed food, right? Vitamin D. The vegetable, the salad bags you buy, those are processed foods. But you are right. There are some that are okay and safe. Mm-hmm. But even some of those, when you look at some of the dressings and the salad dressings, make sure that you're taking ones that look at the back of it and see what's there from a fat content, from a sodium content, and from a sugar content.
Those are the things to watch out for. Well, how is salad in the bag processed? I don't understand that.
Well, you think about it. Salad in the bag, if you bought it right now, how long do you think it lasts?
Yeah.
It can last 14 days, right? And you're like, how does that happen? Well, unfortunately, they do put some additives and preservatives in there to keep that. Salt being a huge preservative, right? It's bad for us, but what does it do? It extends the shelf life of every product that they put it in, and it makes it taste better. So you need to look at some of those preservatives that they're using, which is going to extend the shelf life of these products.
Yeah. Yeah, because you get a head of lettuce, and you know that's, and you got to figure out too the transportation, the whole pipeline of how it's getting here from wherever it's getting here. Now they're gonna have to throw it over a wall. I mean, there's a lot of things.
It's gonna slow things down.
Right, it's gotta make the wall short enough so that we can throw lettuce over it. But yeah, it's big enough so the human can't get over it. I don't know.
You make a very good point, Anna. You do as well when you talk about the vegetables that we're eating here. We're looking at we call them social determinants of health. And how many people live in areas where fresh vegetables aren't available?
Right.
Well, fresh vegetables are so expensive that the processed foods, the frozen meals and things like that are less expensive. They're living on this limited income, don't have the ability to buy it. So now they are buying processed foods because they're disproportionately in this level of wealth or education or prosperity where they don't have access to some of the better foods.
You always make me feel better, Kevin. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right, Kevin Most from Northwestern Medicine. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You got to roll. Anna, take care.
All right, we'll check in now on the other side of this with Kim Gordon. She's got the WGN News. Brocon Show with Anna DeVlantis, yes. Right here on 720 WGN. All right, I got a K-Pal, are you standing by for me? I need you.
I'm standing by.
K-Pal.
Beautiful Camelback Ranch.
What's the temperature there in that Camelback Ranch area?
It just got it's low 70s right now. Last I checked, it was 71. Oh. Beautiful today.
I almost said a bad word. Hey, all right, so have you seen Manny Machado walking around?
I have not.
He's not there.
I've looked under every bench, inside every lock. You know, I thought it was interesting, though, because John Jay and Yonder Alonso, I've been talking about him in the reports all day today. You guys may have heard that these are John Jay's one of his good friends. Yonder Alonso is his brother-in-law. The White Sox acquired them this offseason. So in the Sox clubhouse, every single locker is full except one. And that's the one next to Yonder Alonso's and John Jay's.
Like in between the two?
It's next to John Jay. So in the corner, it's Alonso, then it's Jay, and then next to Jay is the empty one. And of course, after all the questions, we mentioned that to Jay, and he's like, oh, no, I worked that into my contract. I want more space. And then we all laughed, because obviously this is... I mean, you see it there, and you're just like...
Wait a minute.
It's like burning a hole into the clubhouse. You're like, we know who that's for. We know why you're saving that locker. So it was interesting to see that. These are Miami guys. They work out together in South Beach. They had a bunch of University of Miami gear in their lockers. So they were pretty tight-lipped about it like they have been. They're obviously not going to say a whole bunch.
And Manny Machado played at University of Miami, right?
Yes.
And he's got a Miami house where he lives next door to his brother-in-law.
Definitely played high school baseball.
He played high school in Miami.
Yes.
Did he ever play in college? I don't remember
that. I'll double-check. He might have went straight to a minor
league
contract.
Because he was a teenager in Miami.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went straight to the bigs. Because he's only 26. And
although he looks like an ageless monster. I mean, he's one of those things that just... just look at your water glass and start shaking, you know that Manny has entered the area.
Yeah. Look, I mean, it's today's pitchers and catchers reporting here for Sox spring training, but... I mean, it was tough not to think about Manny Machado. Alonso and Jay are here early. They full positional players don't have to report for another 4 days or so, but they're here early with a handful of other positional players. And, you know, obviously, like I said, they're not going to say a whole bunch, but it's just really hard not to think about Machado here. And I've been back and forth on this all offseason. It's almost exhausting at this point for everybody, for the Sox, for fans, for people covering the team in some ways. And I'm sort of leaning that, yes, he's going to be coming to the White Sox at some point here. But the thing with Harper and Machado is that they're not the only free agents that have yet to be signed by a major league team. I mean, there's like 100 free agents out there right now. Everyone's just waiting for Machado and Harper to set the market before the rest of the dominoes fall. So That's why it's been kind of another quiet offseason, just like it was last year. Remember, Jake Arrieta didn't sign until March with the Phillies. So this is 2 years in a row now where we've seen teams kind of holding out, and it's been this standoff between agents and teams and executives. So, you know, we'll see if something – if that changes somewhere down the road over the next couple of years. But I currently, right now, I'm leaning towards, yes, Manny Machado will sign with the White Sox. That's
well, the odds makers – I know you guys aren't betting men or anything, but the odds are certainly improving for the White Sox to acquire Manny Machado.
Well, yeah, that story about the – that story that – seemed to, I don't know how this got generated. I don't know
Which
if I believe
one?
It.
The gloves?
The gloves. The
I
batting
love that
gloves
story.
I'm not sure if that is real or that is not real.
Well, there were pictures of him in the off season wearing some kind of White Sox gear, and it was obviously because his brother-in-law, you know, was part of the team, so he kind of had that. There was a stocking at Christmas that happened to be black and white, and people were like, "Wait a minute!"
Because his brother-in-law, brother-in-law got signed in January, didn't he?
Yonder Alonso, yeah.
Right, and that Alonso. This was post January when the right.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
The gloves were from Rawlings saying, check out Manny Machado's gloves. So it's hard to think that was doctored up. The one with him wearing a hat in a batting cage.
Yeah, that one. Like, was that doctored
it looked
up?
Like somebody took a photo with like a camera that's been outdated for 20 years and it's pixelated. And everyone's like, see, it's a Sox hat. I'm like, are you sure that's a White Sox hat? I don't know about that.
It's a lot of tea leaves people are trying to read.
I don't exactly know what to make of
have
that.
Are they going to hire any more family members? Have we heard anything like that?
Haven't heard anything yet. I'm feeling good about it currently, but that opinion could change in like an hour, so I'll let you know.
All right, our baseball editor, Mark DiCarlo, has just stepped into the studio and known for his baseball...
Acumen
and genius. You're a gigantic Cubs fan.
I'm a baseball fan, but I'm also... I'm a Cubs fan and a baseball fan, both. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're a prognosticator in some ways too.
So in some ways, yes. I think they have a good shot at coming back this year. The Cubs do, and I really hope Manny Machado goes to the Sox.
It'd be very exciting on both sides of town,
wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
There's only one thing more exciting than a Cubs World Series, and that would be a Cubs Sox World Series.
Oh, wouldn't that
That's
be beautiful?
That's what I root for.
Do you think? And I have a question about this. The Cubs announced today the Marquee Network. Starting in 2020, they are going to be available on television by way of a private network. This is the LA Dodgers. You live in LA. Mark DiCarlo is a famed comedian and actor. And
people hate the Dodger setup in LA because if you don't have Spectrum Cable, if you have DirecTV or Dish, or you use streaming services, you can't get the baseball games.
Wow.
See, now
that's no good.
No, it's horrible.
Does that make any sense for them?
They seem to think so. What they did, you know, Spectrum bought the team and then they jacked up the prices of cable and everything else. And they basically said, switch to cable or you can't watch TV. So when I have,
you can't watch the Dodgers.
Right. I have the MLB package. So when the Cubs are playing the Dodgers, it's blacked out even on the package at my house.
Wow.
It's stupid. I mean, all the Cub fans that exist today exist because WGN put the games on TV every day. And the Blackhawks went through that slump because they weren't on TV for so long.
Right.
It's obvious, isn't it?
The idea, when the Hawks, just it's a wonderful analogy, and I would like to share this with the fine folks at the Cubs, who I did like this. Yesterday, Theo Epstein is begging for forgiveness for what Joe Ricketts, you know, had those emails that came out about Joe Ricketts.
Right. He said he had a face-to-face with them and told them how intolerable that is.
Right. And so he said, you know, we're sorry that our fans had to be in a position where they had to choose between their loyalty for the team and then their own personal belief system. And
right.
It's a wonderful, and I thought Theo was a genius Harvard-y kind of thing for him to say. And then the next day they announced that they're doing this deal with Sinclair Broadcasting.
Sinclair.
Which is the company.
That they built the Death Star. I mean, right. Sinclair is antithetical to anything about journalism or me. They're just evil, horrible, vile people.
Well,
they almost owned this place. So
I know.
Yeah. Well,
thank God they didn't.
Let's not forget they were making news for the people who weren't following it, for making their news people read some conservative
BS. Conservative BS lies.
Yes.
And unfortunately, too many people in America are too ignorant of how media works to understand that's what's even happening. I think it's insidious and evil. And, I can't really discuss how I really feel about Sinclair on the air, but I think we all share the same opinion.
It's coming through, the noise.
Is it going to be different for me in Los Angeles? Will I not be able to watch the Cubs on the MLB app because of this thing?
Well, you'll have to sign up for it. I think it was $7 a month or something, right? You can get the Marquee. You'll be able to get the Marquee Network, we're assuming.
Uh-huh.
You'll be able to get the Marquee Network in anywhere in the world that you want to get it.
When I first moved to Los Angeles, I wouldn't take an apartment that didn't have the cable system that had the VGN on it. Just wouldn't do it.
Yeah. But now that, you know, and people go, well, you're still on the Superstation. That Superstation has existed for a decade.
No.
That's WGN America, and that's got a bunch of vampire shows on it.
Right.
Right?
Right. That's I'm not interested in that. Yeah. I'm interested in baseball and hockey.
It's good-looking vampires, though.
Beautiful
young vampires, and every once in a while they're in trouble.
Right.
And then there's another show in which... it's like a civil war. It's like, yeah. Somehow it's like a civil war.
With vampires.
One hour period piece. Mm-hmm. 1 hour drama. Mm-hmm. Weekly drama. In which it's all about, like, they were having sex during the Civil War.
Sure.
It's like a romance novel, right. Civil War thing. I'm like, I don't understand this.
Right, telenovelas from the Civil War period.
Yeah, I don't get it. Hey.
Sex during the Civil War, that could be a book just right there.
You see something there?
I think so.
Potential marketing.
Being able to make the beautiful love while all that carnage is wrecking around you.
Okay.
Let's focus.
I just saw Hamilton over the weekend again.
We saw it last night.
Really? Yes. How? Fabulous.
God, is it good?
Got to see it if you can.
Makes you feel good to be an American.
It does.
And Sinclair makes you feel crappy about being American.
Oh, for God's sake. Would you lay off them?
Stop.
I'm just saying.
They could have been your corporate overlords, Ro.
They would not have been mine. I could just say that there would have been a parting of the ways. It would not have been by my decision.
Oh.
So, I'm sorry. I was already aware of the fact that I was not going to be a long-term member of their
staff. Evangelical enough, are you?
Yeah, I just did. It wasn't going to work out. We just had we had a misunderstanding about I expected to be paid and they expected not. So there was a whole thing. But there is... but this is... They just, you know, back to forget the fact that it's Sinclair behind and all. Sinclair does other things too. They've got a wrestling company, but
because
we were going to be rolled into. Remember?
Yes, that's right. They were rolling our station
just us.
into the wrestling division of the company.
True story.
I think to keep us away from the rest of what was going on over there, but.
Jesus said, wrestle not, you be wrestled.
Mark, hold
it's
on
in
one
the
second.
Bible,
we were just talking to Kevin about baseball, and the next thing you know, we've worked into this kind of a thing. So hold on one second. Kevin, stand by. We'll finish up with you in just a second. Mark DiCarlo is in town.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing a pilot Friday.
That's rather personal, isn't it? I mean, who does he fly for?
Unfortunately, he flies for Braniff.
Yeah. Oh, that's
I'm getting no benefits at all.
Oh, God. Yeah, I did. Why? Your help. Wife is sitting right here and you'd say something like that. That's disgusting, Mark.
She's in it for the peanuts.
The day before Valentine's Day,
I know.
Too.
I know. That was really awful. So and I understand that you're going to be attending the Lars Dingman podcast.
I am. Mm-hmm. Did you hear him
with
on
Patty Vasquez? I heard him this. I was on with him this morning.
He was on Cochran's show this
with
morning.
Cochran,
he's hilarious. I don't think
that's true.
He's a very good psychic, though.
That I don't think is true either.
Are you kidding?
Did you hear what he did to Dave Ennett?
No.
What
this
did he
morning?
Do?
I'll do that on the other side. Stay right here. I'll play that on the other side.
Wow, that's a good tease.
If people want to actually see Lars,
that's
Dingman
good radio
with Patty Vasquez. People should see Patty Vasquez. I don't know about the Lars Dingman, but if they want to take part,
Patty's
in
great.
Patty, they're doing a live podcast recording. And it is going to be, it's about your romantic future.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be really helpful if it said on this.
With Patty and Dr. Lars or just anyone?
Yeah, it's Thursday, tomorrow night at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora.
The Comedy Shrine in Aurora.
Yeah.
And if people want to get tickets, what do they do?
They go to ComedyShrine.com.
Okay.
That's where I bought my tickets. And I'll go anywhere to see Patty Vasquez.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Do stand up.
So now stay right here.
Okay.
Don't move, Mark DiCarlo. Because we were talking about baseball, and we were talking about would you pay an extra $7 a month to catch all the Cubs. And that's for the whole year. You don't just get it during the season. You have to get it for the whole year.
So what would you be watching right now?
It's like, I don't know.
Spring training camp?
I think
I think you probably will, right? Won't they be broadcasting?
They'll be rebroadcasting games and doing other things, and there'll be a lot of things.
You know what I think would be a popular DVD or feature? I'll tell you on the other side of the news.
You do.
Oh, great
on the other side of the news tease, here is Kim Gordon, what's coming up at the top.
One Chicago neighborhood no longer a food desert.
All right. The great Mark DiCarlo, you know him, you love him from everything that you've ever seen on television, is in studio with us.
But
We have run out of time. He's going to be attending the, because he's friends with Patty Vasquez, he's going to be attending the big podcast recording, live recording, that is going to be tomorrow night.
It's a dinner. It's dinner and champagne and a show for $20. Patty and the iTunes psychic, Dr. Lars Dingman, are there at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora. You can get tickets at comedyshrine.com. I've seen them both live before, and
excellent.
It should be fun.
And Lars Dingman will make sure that you get lucky tomorrow night if you bring your date.
I believe so. Yeah. Right, he's going to at least do the best he can.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And so, even if you're single, you can come. I think he's going to try and pair up single people using his psychic ability.
And if I'm not mistaken, Mark DiCarlo is then going, as you said, he's doing a pilot on Friday. Mm-hmm. So congratulations to you on that as well.
I'll see you at Midway.
I hope that pilot enjoys it as much as you do. Well, thank you very much, Mark DiCarlo.
Thanks for having me, bro.
What a turn.
That's really awful
there
what just
was.
Happened right there.
Congrats to Tom Peterman of Park Ridge. He won the pitch competition over at White Sox. The speed pitch.
What was the number?
73. A lot lower than we had anticipated. He's a civil engineer.
73 is a big number.
I know, but there were prizes for getting over 90, and that was part of the competition.
73 feels low.
No one was going to have a 73. You know, Justin Timberlake, is that the guy who's on the morning show? What's his name?
Justin Kaufman.
Oh, Justin Kaufman.
Still Justin Kaufman.
Justin Kaufman was telling me this morning that he did this at the pitching, the standard speed pitch,
the one you've got at White Sox.
At the rate.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at 48 and thought he threw it as hard human being could ever throw
it. So hard.
Yeah.
I've been in the batting cages in the slow pitch, and I can't hit one of them.
Do we know the answer to what our staff did? What did Sandberg do? She thought
I didn't get all their numbers.
Can you get that? Can you work on that while we do the top five, and then on the other side we'll do that? Because Mary Sandberg, Steve Cochran's producer and voice on the program, she was doing it.
Hogue did it, right?
Carmen
did it. Carmen's going to have the biggest number.
No, for sure. Adam.
No chance.
No.
Adam Hogue. I bet Mary did okay.
But Carmen's like a professional tennis player or something, isn't he? Isn't he always going to or coming from a tennis event? Either that or he just likes to wear white shorts around here, which I think is kind of creepy.
Stop. He works out. That seems odd.
He might have won it.
To a lot of people.
He might have.
Yeah, especially me.
I'll do some.
It's the top five.
Stop. Sorry.
The Rokan Show. Let's go.
3, 2, 1. Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Sorry, Kev.
Yeah. I see what you did there.
Yeah. All right. Checking in at
number five.
Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and Venezuelan envoy Elliot Abrams. Elliot Abrams, not exactly just the Venezuelan envoy. Elliot Abrams is one of the most significant diplomats in American history of the last half century. They got into a heated exchange during a hearing today about the military role of the United States in Venezuela. And Congressman Omar went after his credibility for withholding information from Congress during the Iran-Contra affair and how he considered American involvement in El Salvador as a success.
I fail to understand why members of this committee or the American people should find any testimony that you give today to be truthful.
If I can respond to that,
it wasn't a question.
I reserve the right to my time. It is not right.
That was not a question.
Committee can attack
on February 8th.
Who is not permitted to reply?
That was not a question. Thank you for your participation.
Well, she's making a name for herself lately.
She's, you know what? The Russians did her too. I think they got her. Yeah, I think that that's the if we want to believe that the Russians are behind Donald Trump, they're behind her too, and I happen to believe both.
Please,
they love that. Wait, there's one more.
You later said that the U.S. policy in El Salvador was a fabulous achievement. Yes or no? Do you still think so?
From the day that President Duarte was elected in a free election to this day, El Salvador has been a democracy. That's a fabulous achievement.
Yes or no, do you think that massacre was a fabulous achievement that happened under our watch?
That is a ridiculous question. And I
yes or no?
No.
I will take that as a yes.
I am not going to respond to that kind of personal attack, which is not a question.
Yeah, you know, I kind of blame the chairman here for sitting.
Letting it go on like that.
Yeah, and because that's
yeah. What do you solve by that kind of
now,
back and forth?
I mean, I do know that these are contentious things, and that you know all of these whether it was,
they're grandstanding in a lot of cases.
Yeah,
they're not looking for answers.
Happens
you're just
all the
looking
time.
For.
But she's not having the best week,
no.
Right? So.
No.
And I'd like, you know, thank you, Vladimir. Another one. Another big win for Vladimir Putin. All right. Checking in at
number four.
President Trump held a pool spray today. It's not as fun as it sounds. That is when
they don't have big inflatables or anything.
No. That's where the cameras are invited in, and he stands there or he sits there and he answers a bunch of questions.
It can be pretty good though in terms of how fun they are, depending.
But he was not clear about his intention to sign this bill that is going to be coming before him now that would avert a government shutdown. He was sitting next to the Colombian president, Iván Duque Márquez, who had a great ERA, as I remember, back in the day. And he was asked about the recent indications that he's going to approve the proposal, despite the lack of federal funding, for as much federal funding as he's looking for his wall.
I appreciate all the work the Republicans have done, because they're really going against a radical left, and they're going against it very hard, and they're fighting. But we're in very good shape, and we're going to take a look at it when it comes. I don't want to see a shutdown. Shutdown would be a terrible thing. I think a point was made with the last shutdown. People realized how bad the border is, how unsafe the border is. And I think a lot of good points were made, but I don't want to see another one. There's no reason for it. And we're going to look at the legislation when it comes, and I'll make a determination then.
That was amazing. And also in that spray today, mm-hmm. He said that he took full responsibility for the last shutdown, and it was a good learning.
He said that?
Moment for everybody. Yeah, huh. Like really, people loved it. It was great. I mean, it was what was wrong with it?
Well, they definitely they will do everything to avoid having it shut down again. Even the president is saying that.
Yeah. All right. Well, get to your three, your two, and your one, and we'll find out everybody's pitch speed coming up. But first, Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
A legendary American company about to go public.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city, watch Chicago's best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Top 5-5 continues.
Number three.
Jussie Smollett. The Empire star,
yep,
that was involved in that. It was attacked brutally, and he says it was a racially motivated attack that happened a couple of weeks ago right here in downtown Chicago, right around the river in Streeterville.
Yep.
Is speaking publicly now to ABC News. He sat down with Robin Roberts. It's going to air tomorrow on Good Morning America, and said in part this.
I'm pissed off.
What is it that has you so angry? Is it the attackers?
It's the attackers, but it's also the attacks. It's like, you know, at first it was a thing of like, listen, if I tell the truth, then that's it, because it's the truth. Then it became a thing of like, oh, how can you doubt that? Like, how do you not believe that? It's the truth. And then it became a thing of like, oh, it's not necessarily that you don't believe that this is the truth. You don't even want to see the truth.
Well, that's really not true. The police want to see your phone. That's what
they do,
what
or at least phone records that aren't so heavily redacted, because that was what the police said, that it wasn't corroborating some of the information because he wasn't giving them the information that they would need to corroborate it.
I would make the argument to Mr. Smollett that this isn't that America's not ready for that truth, or people don't want to see that truth, or people wouldn't believe that a young gay African-American actor would be threatened mm-hmm. or even attacked for being any of the above.
Right.
In this era, in any era, but in this era, you know, that does seem like a moment where that seems more possible than it would have been a few years ago. The issue is not that. The issue is that the details are scant, and there is if he wants to get to the bottom of this, and I get that police put 12 detectives on this. You see all the TV commercials. They don't have 12 detectives to put on this. And they put 12 detectives, and they have looked at thousands of hours of closed circuit television
mm-hmm.
to see all the movement for the hours leading up to the attack and right after the attack, hours after the attack, to see what's going on in the street within a 10-block radius of where the attack happened, so they could see if there were people loitering 2 hours before. And they haven't been able to find any of that. And there's cameras. There are so many cameras in
this area. Cameras everywhere, places you would never imagine. And he defined them as two people wearing MAGA hats. That would be pretty easy to spot, even on those grainy cameras.
And they're not real grainy. The pictures that we have seen, the two people that are persons of interest, you see only from behind, and they are in, you know, it's very cold
those
night
that
night.
Those are hard to make out, whoever those people are.
Right. You'd never be able to figure that out.
No, but he's hired a PR firm, a crisis management PR firm, and they're the ones who set up the interview for ABC News. So
he has also hired a famed Chicago attorney, too.
Familiar.
Who might that be?
Mm-hmm. Can't say. Jimmy Fallon, last night, talking about the El Chapo conviction. It's going to send him away to prison for the rest of his life, potentially.
Hey, guys, hear about this? Today, a jury in New York convicted Mexican drug lord El Chapo, and now he's facing life in prison. I'll have a joke about this after I'm 100% sure he's spending his life in prison. Just so you know, I'll be the first one there. Actually, El Chapo's jury took 6 days to reach a verdict, 1 day to deliberate, then 5 days to change their names and move to different states.
It's only half kidding. We had someone on the show yesterday, Jack Riley, who was threatened by him. And there was another person I saw, another federal law enforcement official, who was at the trial with people guarding his safety, because he's been threatened as well.
Yep.
Means business.
And finally,
number one.
Kamala Harris, you know, she's a senator from California, wants to be president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
She sat down with the Breakfast Club, which is a radio show out in New York.
Yep.
And explained why she has decided to run for president. And she also touched on where she stands on marijuana legalization. And that's where it got kind of interesting.
Have you ever smoked?
I have.
Like I inhaled. I did inhale.
Okay.
It was a long time ago. But yes.
I know you have to go. They say you have to go. I just wanted to
ask. Just broke loose.
I mean, was it in college? Or was it a blunt or joint?
It was a joint.
Hey.
Yeah.
You remember the high?
I do.
So if it was legalized all throughout the country and medicinal, would you, you know, do it?
Listen, again? I think that it gives a lot of people joy, and we need more joy.
We need more joy in this world.
What were you listening to when you was high? What was on? What song was it?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, definitely Snoop. Uh-huh. Tupac, for sure.
The only problem is neither rapper had their music out when she was in college.
Yeah.
I hate when I mix that up.
Now, you know what? It was either when I was in college or 2 weeks ago.
Who would know?
Really?
So she never actually smoked. She's just trying to make up a story so she seems cool.
Could be. I don't know. I don't know what to make of that story.
I don't know what to make.
It seemed like maybe she was trying a little bit there.
That's not the Kamala Harris that we see at those Senate Judiciary Committee hearings.
With the prosecutorial style,
right,
where you're just trembling.
Yes.
If you're being up for confirmation for something.
Will the witness please make eye contact with me?
The parent trying to be hip and cool with their teenage kids. Yeah, I was cool back in the day. Hit a joint as well.
Listening to
totally
Snoop.
Cool.
She sounded a little, maybe stoned right there for that thing. And it was also, she got a little flirty with them. Did you notice that? It was kind of, she kind of came down. It was a little like, I just want to be, I just want you to look at me as super cool right now. And I might be totally stoned.
It's kind of like late dinner conversation, you know, like, with your buddies. You had a few. You just start saying stuff.
Right.
Start saying stuff. Random topics keep popping up.
Yeah, I was listening to Tupac when I was in college, even though Tupac was five when she was in college. Oh, man.
She's in a pantsuit.
I had a Tupac poster in my dorm room, even though he was in diapers. Yeah, she's like older than I am.
I don't know.
I'm old. I think that's the point. All right.
54. She's 54.
She's 54. Oh, so she's my age. Yeah, she's still older than I am.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that wouldn't have. Way past Tupac.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I mean, I would have. I remember when I was in college, there was no Tupac. We'd buy a two-pack. Yes, there was a two-pack, which is when you got two six-packs of beer, and that was called a case or a half case. I don't know. The whole thing was confusing then. I could do this. I'd like to go on that show and explain that to them. Yeah, so we would do Natural Light or sometimes Busch Light. And I got it in the bottles because I liked the little bottles. Now, I eventually did go to the long necks because I thought that made me look cooler.
Actually, I think your party days would be an interesting part of a show.
And
Grant Porter and those people.
When did they end? All right. Do you mind if we
stop.
Move on? Okay.
The top five at five.
Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis.
Yes.
Kevin Powell is out in the desert for us for the next couple of days as the Sox and the Cubs are reporting, and you'll be at both camps telling us what's happening there. And today, the Sox did that promotion where they had 100 people sign up to throw a ball as fast as they possibly could. And, you know, whoever broke 90 miles an hour, you know, got some things. There were season tickets on the line and some other really cool items. And we sent our own people out there to try this. Now, Kevin had to be on the plane last night, so he's out in Arizona. So he asked to do it from Glendale, but they said no, and because that was a strategic advantage. But
I started warming up on the fields here, and they called security and had to drag me off. I said, what? I'm practicing for the speed pitch competition.
You didn't have the same icy base that they were dealing with over at the guaranteed rate, so it wouldn't have been fair.
Icy base was my rap name for many years.
So Camilla Harris listened to in college.
Yes.
Was that a Snoop Dogg?
If she had said the Sugarland Gang, then she could have gotten away with that whole lie about smoking dope in college and listening to rap music. Anyway, Sugar Hill Gang. Sugarland was a different thing. Okay.
Sugarland's great.
Right. This is Sugar Hill. Anyway, the point is that our own people, I want to know how fast they pitched. So you
had I have the official.
All right.
So the winner, you have the winner too?
Well, the winner from our group or the whole
thing? No, the whole winner was 73.
Okay.
73 miles per hour, just to give people an idea.
Here's what our group did. Mary Sandberg with a pretty dang impressive 48 mile per hour heater.
Nice.
Wow.
Producer Pete and Mark Carmen tied at 52. And Adam Hogue at 53.
Hogue did it.
See, Hogue did it.
I thought Carmen for sure was going to run
around. No.
Carmen,
that was Hogue.
Because Carmen is like an amateur professional tennis player.
Yeah, but Hogue walks around in workout gear all the time.
He just plays tennis in a club. He's an amateur.
He's an amateur
professional. Plays with some guy with some European, ultra-European name, and Carmen comes in all ticked off because the guy beat him again.
Yeah, well, plus,
beat me again. That's
right. The mental game with Carmen is not strong. He would just be like, I'm not going to make this. I'll probably slide on my butt.
That's what he probably did anyway, so he probably can do it a lot better.
Well, see, now Hogue is always working out, But, you know, Hogue
and he's
is,
like 20.
But Hogue is one of those guys who's like working out because he wants to live to be 150. He's like that guy. He's like, he's eating a peanut. You're watching it. You're watching it work its way through the system. A
lot of kale.
You know when he's eating an almond because it goes down sideways?
You can see him losing weight as you look at him.
Yeah.
No processed pastries.
Right. Nothing like that.
He doesn't do the ultra processed.
From Adam Hogue is
that's pretty
not
good.
Good.
He's,
what do you mean?
Is
not good?
Oh, no. That's not good.
Why?
That's really not good at all.
You think it should be higher than
higher.
That?
Higher. Yeah,
but he's lanky. He's got, he does have a little bit more of a Chris Sale build. I mean, you see, maybe he would be able to do that. I don't know. All I could say is that's pretty good. I'd like to. You know what? I'd love to go. I'll do that out
you
at
and I
the
will
rate.
Do the fast pitch when the season starts. Rob.
Yeah,
I'd like to
we'll
see what yours are.
I bet you could be 53.
So, question: the guys on the field that are not the pitchers, how fast are they throwing?
Like a
third baseman?
Like
yeah,
that?
Yeah. Just not
probably fun. Anywhere from 70 to 80.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes outfielders hit 100 when they're throwing home plate.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a little different. That's a bigger target, though. They throw 100 miles an hour. And, I mean, any pitcher, if they didn't care where the ball was going and didn't have to worry about killing some guy, they would be going.
The outfielders have a crow hop as well. But, look, today they had pretty bad conditions. Mary said they were freezing. Everybody's hands were frozen. Oh. It was like 18 degrees. What was the temperature today in Chicago? It didn't look
14,
good.
14, yeah.
And they were standing
so they
on
were
the
standing
ice.
Outside.
Yeah.
They were standing
yeah,
on
Yeah, that
ice.
Was it, yeah.
So tough conditions. Similar to the
yeah,
park.
I remember when I played Little League. Spring training was
you
always.
You played ball.
You know, played a little League.
You and Kevin both played a little ball, so you'd understand.
Exactly. I remember.
I'm going to show these chumps up.
All right, we'll go out there. We'll show them. Maybe when we're actually going to be in Arizona in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we could talk to the Sox about that.
Maybe we could see if they can put a gun on us. I mean, like a radar gun, not a gun gun. You know what I mean? That might be
clock you.
Yeah. See if they can do. And actually, if we go on the field, they will put a gun on us. So we will we'll know exactly what's going on there.
Well done from the GN group, though.
Yeah, very well done.
Well represented.
And congrats to the winner, the Park Ridge guy, Peter.
You know, I would congratulations to him and to Mary Sandberg, who was practicing in the hallways here.
She was?
Yeah,
good
she
for
said
her.
It's all about her legs. It was all about, she. Yeah. It's like torque off the rubber.
Okay.
And I'm like what?
That sounds. Yeah. That's a strategy.
So that was what the whole thing was going to happen. All right. Congratulations.
Well represented.
Speaking of all of that, Dave Ennett is standing by. He's got Northwestern basketball coming your way.